on the Friday afternoon show at WGXC. This is Jim Shields, and our topic now is one of my favorite genres, fantasy. And we have two fantasy authors with us here today. Would you like to introduce yourself to our guests, to our listeners, please?
My name is Bruce Koval. I've been writing for kids, really of all ages. I've written picture books, middle grade novels, young adult novels, one adult novel just to prove I could do it. Mostly fantasy, a fair amount of science fiction, a few ghost stories. The book I'm most well known for probably in the fantasy genre is Jeremy Thatcher, Dragon Hatcher. My most recent book is called Always October. It's about a trip to the world that monsters come from, a world created out of human fear. And that came out last fall. It was my 100th book.
Wow. Okay.
I'm old and hyperactive.
Welcome. Thanks for coming on the show, Bruce.
Thank you.
My name is Chris Henderson. I publish under the name CWJ Henderson. I write for young adult audiences. My first book, which is what I'm here for at the book festival, is Fennecus Flint and the Dragons of Barathor. I write in a lot of different genres, mainly science fiction and fantasy, but right now I'm also working on a audio drama about the zombie apocalypse with a small publishing company called A Good Tale. And I'm also working on a couple of screenplays that I hope to start trying to shop around when the summer comes to an end. Because as a teacher, my time to finally start writing is coming up when I get away from school and away from teenagers for a little while to actually enjoy what I enjoy doing most. I love teaching, but I love writing more than anything in the world.
Wow, and both dragon writers. What do we love about dragons?
Well, you know, Tolkien said in one of his essays, I desired dragons. That was one of the reasons he wrote, I desired dragons. And dragons, in many ways, are the perfect metaphor for magic somehow, for magic creatures. There's this power, there's this raw energy, but there's also developed in fantasy fiction over the last several years, Anne McCaffrey is a good starting point for all that, the connection of humans, a mental connection between humans and dragons. And that sense of being connected to something so powerful and so wild, you can't own a dragon, but you can be bonded with a dragon, I think is very appealing to people.
For me, I was an avid role-playing gamer when I was younger and playing Dungeons & Dragons. And I always loved the dragon, just something inherently drew me to them. And when I started writing, I decided that I was going to focus my book on something that I thought was a little different, which was actually making dragons the viewpoint character of a story. So they actually carry the entire book. And you get to kind of see the world through their eyes and their society. And the book parallels a lot into the Holocaust and genocide and things like that, because there's an ancient war between man and dragons. And it was just something I felt like they always needed a voice. They never really had that direct voice for such a celebrated mythological creature. And so I decided to do that. And it brings in actually, which is, I was glad you said it about the human connection. As I get deeper into the series, you find out that there is a very good reason why these dragons have a lot of human idiosyncrasies. People are just like, oh, well, you just couldn't separate humans from dragons when you're writing. I'm like, no, it was for a reason. And there's a very strong connection between them through Norse mythology, especially Andvari's ring and a lot of the legends surrounding that, which is actually the source material for Lord of the Rings.
Oh, wow. I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan, so... I can see the interest in dragons.
Well, one of the things about fantasy I think that is surprising people who don't actually write it is that good fantasists do a lot of research. Mm. I mean, it seems it's fantasy, so you think we're making it all up, but it has to be really grounded in what makes sense for people. If you're going to write a dragon story, you need to know what the basic feelings about dragons are, what's there in the dragon lore. Then you build on that and go off and create your own original thing. But you have to start with knowing where stuff comes from. So if I'm doing a dragon story, I research dragons. If I'm doing a unicorn story, I research unicorns. I was doing a toad story, and I researched toad folklore. And the wonderful thing is, from the research often come story solutions that are there in the folk wisdom and the folk tales. Mm. So even though we're making this stuff up, most of us do a lot of research to do it.
Right. It's that collective unconscious thing where it's, you know, we identify with it deeply. So it seems very new when we're reading it.
Yes, and if you violate that collective unconscious, then the reader falls away from you.
Right.
And I found, oddly through my writing, I have a lot of slipping into convenient things that happen that I find through my reading of mythology and other things. Like, I didn't put something in the book on purpose, but then it all just kind of lines up and gels together, and it still has that cohesiveness to it. The same thing with research with science fiction. I'm writing the book I'm trying to finish right now is actually the beginning of a time travel series. So I was watching every single movie I could get on time travel. I kept watching Back to the Future over and over again. I kept getting mad watching Back to the Future 2 as a totally brutalized time travel theory. And every book on it I could get my hands on to make sure that my time travel theory was coherent, but it was also different from anything that's been done before. You know, there's, you know, it borrows from other things like the Pendragon series and some other ones, but in its own, it's unique because the research was done.
Right. So, what's your favorite time travel movie?
I'm trying to remember the name of it.
We can come back if you...
Oh, Kate and Leopold, actually.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's one of the more unique theories with using weather weather prediction to find where these vortexes are through time, and how you have this whole thing wrapping around through the film of the one guy goes back in time, and because he went back, his girlfriend's supposed to end up going... It's very hard to describe, but it's very interesting.
It's time travel. So.
Yeah, it's time travel.
It's a fun movie. I like that one.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Bruce, you were going to say... and what about dragons? Who's your favorite dragon? Outside of your own dragons.
My favorite dragon outside of my own. For nasty dragonness, it would be Smaug in The Hobbit. He's just nasty.
Pure evil.
And he's fun to read out loud. If you read out loud to kids, I used to be a teacher too. Smaug is great fun to read.
Yeah, and he doesn't have a very big part, but he's
but the whole story turns on
exactly,
him.
Exactly. Right, right. He doesn't have his spoken... His spoken parts are small, yes, but they're so powerful, and completely difficult to translate. So you never really know what he's saying. Is there
something
about dragons?
My favorite film dragon is Disney's old Sleeping Beauty, which is one reason I do this work. It's because that set my mental landscape. When Maleficent, the witch, transforms into a dragon, it's just a stunning scene, and she's just horrible. But I love that moment.
Oh, that's great. Well, there's nothing about dragons that don't interest me. So, but I want to thank you guys for coming in, and I look forward to seeing your books tomorrow at the Hudson Book Festival, and you'll be there
at the book festival
talking about your books, signing books.
Yep.
Yes.
Either of you bring a dragon with you that we might meet tomorrow?
I brought it, but they made me send it home.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess they do have rules.
They
about
have a big problem on the three-way with dragons.
Yeah. Thanks again for coming in, and
thank
good
you.
Luck. Best of luck.
Thanks. Thank you.